It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And Tom, you've been a longtime teacher at Guilford. Tell us about your background.
I've been a teacher at Guilford High School for 20 years and have been involved with Special Olympics and Special Olympics at Guilford High School since 2011.
And we'll get into it in the second half of the show, but I know you've been honored for the how you've championed the unified sports. And Tom, when you get a chance, when you see my good pal, Coach Pinkham, would you tell him I'm still trying to get him on this radio show before the soccer season starts? All right, Mary, going to get back to you. Tell us about the mission of Special Olympics and kind of a look back over the 50 years, and not that you've been there all 50.
So we're so excited to be celebrating our 50th anniversary. Special Olympics started in New Hampshire with our first games in 1970. Before that, the organization had an event in 1968 at Soldiers Field in Chicago. New Hampshire sent six men to those games. And Tom, just 50 years ago, the governor had to sign a proclamation to allow the residents of the Laconia State School the opportunity to leave the state boundaries. And so we're so excited about how far the organization has come. Our mission really is through sport, is to change the quality of life and the perception of people with intellectual disabilities. The ultimate goal is to help people participate as productive and respected members of society at large.
And that's part of your mission statement, which I think is awesome.
That it is, yeah. By offering them a fair opportunity to develop and demonstrate their skills and talents through sports training and competition, and by increasing the public's awareness of their capabilities and needs.
And the other part of your mission is to provide year-round sports training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. So must put a big smile on your face when you see this now, several years later.
Absolutely. So I would also tell you, in those earlier days, we were an organization that did for people with intellectual disabilities. And then we were an organization that did with. So our athletes were gaining their voice and were interested in aspects. And now I think we're moving to an organization that does what our athletes ask of us through sport. So we, those first games in 1968, when there was a pool set up in Chicago, there was a lifeguard every 3 feet to make sure that no one drowned. We now have competition open water swim. We also have started in New Hampshire a unified sprint triathlon, where an athlete with their partner train and compete in running, biking, and swimming as one of the competitions. So we are very excited that that our mission is evolving and growing with the athletes and their needs.
Great story, Mary. We'll get back to you. Tom, now, of course, other than being, you know, hugely sensitive and really great guy, how did you get into, like, being the champion for Guilford for Unified Champion Schools? Because when I was chair of the State Board of Education, one of the things I learned is that, you know, the State Board could promulgate all sorts of great policies and procedures, but in sort of a decentralized world that we live in New Hampshire, it really takes kind of local leadership, and there's no school system that has any, you know, excess staff to be the, you know, the unified schools coordinator. So how did you just get into it?
Well, back in 2011, Laconia High School reached out to several area schools, and they had what was more or less a field day where they set up some competitions for to introduce the unified concept to the area schools. And six or seven schools went to Laconia, and they played games that we don't even really compete in now, but it did a good job of introducing the whole concept of unified sports. We played kickball and we played soccer. I think they did some Zumba dancing. there was some cooking. There was a lot of different things that happened, but it introduced the topic or the concept of unified to a lot of schools. And then from there, we Guilford joined the soccer, the NHIA Soccer Unified League, and Lori Belanger and I coached that first team and won that first state championship. that we were in. Haven't won it since.
Big shout out.
Wow. But we did win one. And then, you know, since that point, we've kind of taken an example from Laconia, and we've reached out to a lot of schools, and we've had jamborees on our own the last 3 years, and we've taken that to the middle school level and tried to introduce it to a lot of middle schools in the area. We bring schools to Guilford every year, and we have a big field day similar to the one that we participated in at Laconia. So that's really how we got going.
You know, yeah, and so obviously you've done a very passionate job, and obviously,
yeah, and I haven't done this alone. There's a lot of people at Guilford High School that are involved with me.
And you have the overall support, yeah, you know, of leadership there, and I think that's important. But it does take someone like yourself with the energy, and obviously, you know, you were, you know, recognized with the award. So back to you, Mary. So when getting back to the 50th anniversary, so you're going to have the usual penguin plunge, which is so hot out now. It's hard to be thinking about that, but you have that, and you also have the gala and, of course, in the winter game. So tell us about that.
So we kicked off our 50th anniversary at the summer games in June. And we will also recognize and celebrate the athletes of Special Olympics New Hampshire at a gala that we're doing on October 5th. And then we will have at our Penguin Plunge, again, we'll celebrate 50 years of Special Olympics, although the plunge is only 21 years old. And then our winter games, which is, we'll have about 400 athletes competing in alpine skiing, downhill skiing, snowshoe, and cross country at Waterville Valley in early March, that we will celebrate the 50th anniversary. And what we're trying to do is to bring back athletes who are not participating, bring back folks who have really helped to make the organization what it is today. So we're reaching out to some coaches who have retired and some volunteers who have retired, as well as inviting old corporate partners of ours to come together. So it's really a celebration and an acknowledgement of the of Special Olympics and our athletes.
All right, Mary, this is your big opportunity, 50-year anniversary. I know you need some corporate sponsors maybe and other donations. So it's your website is sonh1word.org, and your phone number?
624-1250. And my extension is 26.
And Mary always returns a phone call when she particularly thinks that this is someone that's interested in either volunteering or writing
absolutely
a check. But
yes,
but it's all, you do rely on donations, of course.
Absolutely, we do. We receive, our budget's about $2.4 million. We have about $1.5 million through in-kind donations through the great people of the Granite State, whether they're volunteering or donating their facilities. So we like to say that we do $4 million worth of work on $2.5 million budget. We do not receive any money from the state of New Hampshire. And the schools program that Tom spoke of, the Unified Champion Schools, we do receive a grant that indirectly comes from the Department of Education in Washington.
Yeah, I knew about the grant. So back to you, Tom. So Unified Sports, according to the timeline, began about 1989. So when your involvement with it, how have you seen the evolution from basically, you know, like you said, you had some, I don't know, pretty unique sports early on, but now it's, you know, all competitive stuff, correct?
Yeah, you know, the sports have grown a little bit. We started with soccer, and I think New Hampshire might have started with soccer and basketball at the high school level. They've added volleyball. They've added unified track and field. But, you know, I think that the growth from the Unified Champion Schools isn't really just in sports. It's really more into the schools. Like, for instance, in several schools, there are unified classes. Guilford has unified creative writing, where kids with and without intellectual disabilities are learning about creative writing, and they're writing a lot of great stuff, and they're reading out loud, and they're reading to the school, and that's a pretty exciting class. We also have a unified club that, you know, every year has 70 or 75 members. It's a very active club. We try to do one event every month. Our best event last year was a big bonfire we had in the fall. The Unified Club also it's the arm that we use of the school to host other schools, to do those field days we talked about earlier. So I'd say that the growth is really like in different directions. It's not so much into, you know, more and more sports, although I think that probably they are adding sports in the schools.
So it's both integrating into the overall process as well as additional sports. What would you say, Tom, I mean, if there was a school out there, a principal or a teacher like yourself that for school that really hasn't really delved into this, what would you say is how to get started?
Well, the best way to get started, I think, is to use the support that's offered through Special Olympics New Hampshire. A phone call to Special Olympics New Hampshire can get some support right to you, and give. We can help with some ideas. We can help with some funding. We can include them with other schools to get some things to participate in. For instance, last spring, Newfound hosted a unified prom. There were 75, maybe to 90 students there. It was a great night up there. But, I mean, there's the schools that have good programs going on are always really eager to reach out to other schools and to include them. And but this is what this is all about. It's really about inclusion within the schools. So.
Inclusion and sharing best practice and using, like I said, using Mary's team as a resource.
As a resource, for sure. You know, and if it's a school that doesn't have much of this going on, every school really celebrates any chance they get to have some inclusion, or to include, you know, the entire student body in their activities. So this is one really structured way to get it going and to get some support with that.
The athletic director at Hinsdale High School shared a few years ago that his school didn't have an opportunity to celebrate athletes that were not varsity level athletes. So Unified Sports in their school has provided an opportunity for the whole school to rally around some of its students that maybe weren't in the limelight before. I will tell you, 97% of high school seniors say that Unified Champion Schools is changing their school for the better. And I think what we think is sports opens the door. And sports is a great medium to allow relationships to form in a non-threatening way. And I think the youth of New Hampshire are understanding there's a lot more similarities between their classmates that maybe they hadn't had the opportunity to share with an experience. And those things that are happening on the court or on the field are transferring through the school. Dover High doesn't have a special ed table in their lunchroom because it's a unified table that the kids are all sitting together, and it's really changing the quality of life, and it's changing generations to come.
It's a great way of putting it. Well, we'll get to you more about moving forward after commercial break. Please stay tuned with more of Mary Conroy, who's the president and CEO of Special Olympics New Hampshire, and Tom Carr, teacher at the Guilford School System, professional golf coach, and great all-around guy. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, and this weekend, August 3rd and 4th, and Mary Conroy is Mary Conroy, who's the president and CEO of Special Olympics, and Tom Carr, teacher at the Guilford School System. And we're talking about unified sports, but also specifically the support that Special Olympics New Hampshire gives to Unified Sports, but also some statistics and what Special Olympics New Hampshire has meant to cultivating a more healthy community in general. So, Mary, let's start with some shout-outs to the volunteers, but also maybe some facts and figures.
So currently in Special Olympics, we have more than 3,000 athletes who are training and competing in the organization. We're serving about 7.5% of the population who has intellectual disabilities in the state of New Hampshire currently. So Special Olympics has 86 local programs or teams around the state, and those teams are, it might be a recreation department, it might be an area agency, it could be just a group of people that share an interest in a sport. Additionally, currently we have 64 high schools who are participating in our Unified Schools program. So Unified Sports started through Special Olympics in 1988. It came to New Hampshire in 1989. So since for 30 years, we have been offering competition for people with and without intellectual disabilities who would train and play on the same team. And ideally through those shared experiences, that if it's appropriate that people are going out for pizza and a soft drink after practice, the team is going. Our guys are not going home and the other folks are going out. So now that's segued, and in 2008, we started the Unified Champion Schools program in New Hampshire. And in 2010, we partnered with the NHIAA to bring unified sports to high schools. So currently there are 64 of our state's high schools are participating. The work that Tom and his colleague Lori have done have introduced Unified Champion Schools to 19 middle schools. Special Olympics offers 17 sports during the course of the year in four seasons. We have 5,500 volunteers who help us out either organizing the team or providing the infrastructure for our competitions. We have a staff of 12, and we are so thankful for the Granite State in their support of the organization, both in terms of financial support and providing volunteers. So there are also a couple just really, really interesting facts that I think prove the value of sport. So a person with an intellectual disability who's trained and competed in Special Olympics is twice as likely to be employed. And if you think about it, sport, there are rules. There's right, there's wrong. You play the game between the lines. When the game's over, high five, good job.
Right, and you're playing as a team. I know that one of the attributes we look for is when we're hiring is people that have proven that they can work in teams, because so much of what's now done in corporate America is not based on the org chart, but it's based on your ability to work as a team. And we have just kind of found out statistically that people that have played various forms of team sports have that ability.
Interesting. That's really good to know.
So it's yeah. True. So, I was a jock growing up, and I know that kind of helped me in terms of getting things done cross-functionally. Before I was a CEO, I was not always the CEO, so I had to get things done where just in kind of a team approach. So Tom had mentioned earlier that if you're a school, middle school, high school, listening to this, and maybe you don't have a program, to start with a contact, call Mary at 624-1250 or the website sonh.org, all one word. So Tom, since you're kind of boots on the streets and hands-on, like, are there some challenges that you've been able to overcome? Like, for example, I was thinking when I was preparing for this, like, getting referees that understand these rules, things like that. Are those challenges? Because, you know, kind of in regular NHIA, there's a shortage of soccer referees for JV. So I don't know if you have those same types of issues.
We do and we don't. I mean, a lot of this, that is done at the high school level. That's done by the NHIA, and they take care of that like they do for all of the other varsity sports. it can be a little bit of a challenge finding referees that have been trained in this. I think the tendency for anyone watching this sort of stuff is to try to accommodate the students and players that have intellectual disabilities. And really the challenge is, you know, you've got to expect a lot from them. There's got to be expectations that you have to expect them to be able to learn the sport and play the sport and play within some rules. And, you know, that does vary a little bit from player to player. But I think that the expectation is we're going to pretty much let them have fun and get away with whatever they can and not bother trying to learn the rules and play as well as they can. But, you know, it's an excellent experience when there are expectations and you see them improving, you see them start to grasp the concepts. And, you know, one example is like when I coached our unified soccer team for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And, you know, we insisted that the referees call off sides because we made our players know that. And, you know, and it was only, you know, of the 30 or 35 unified athletes that I coached, there was only one or two that really were not able to understand that ever. Most of them learned the rule and played by the rule. So I think getting that's one challenge, is having referees get the proper training and understand, you know, what unified sports is and what it isn't. The other challenge probably is every school has a challenge. The teachers and the staff in general, they're very busy. There's a lot of things pulling on their extra time. You know, so once the school day ends, there's no shortage of places to go give extra time, and this is just one more. So trying to find staff that are willing to really keep this rolling forward in every single school. I mean, even if you get it started and you get it rolling well in one school, 2 or 3 years, you know, make a lot of difference in the staff. Somebody might retire or somebody might change districts, and then you're scrambling for someone to step up and do it. So that is a challenge.
So in the spirit of transparency, Tom's my brother-in-law, and that when we were talking about that at a cookout, I know that when I was, again, on the State Board of Education, that always is the issue with teachers are tugged, and there's, like you say, there's no want of different things you can get in, but meaningful activities you can get involved with. So you're award-winning, Tom, your team's award-winning. Do you have any secret sauce? I know you're the secret sauce for the burgers, but how about secret sauce for Unified? Just hard work?
I mean, The award I think that you're referring to is the award that Dover and Alvern and Guilford all won. We were Unified Champion Banner Schools earlier this year or last school year. And no, there's not really a secret sauce, but once you get involved with and get the support from Special Olympics New Hampshire, I mean, there really is a framework that you work within, and there's many different components to the program. And, you know, you win the award when you include all of the components and you sustain it for 3 or 4 years. Hopefully there'll be a lot of other schools in New Hampshire getting that same award in the years to come.
That's what we want. Institutionalize it in the sense that we don't want it hinging on like someone's personality, whatever. So, Mary, again, your resource 624-1250. I want to give you the last word, Mary, in terms of moving forward with Special Olympics, with the 50-year celebration, and just in general, your final thoughts for today?
We're so fortunate to be in the Granite State. People in New Hampshire value people as people first, and that's one obstacle that we can eliminate. Our schools, when given the opportunity to understand that the value they have inside their schools through people with disabilities, people with intellectual disabilities, and the change that when we listen to those folks in the schools is day and night. And the changes that come from that seed that's planted maybe on the basketball court really changes the culture in a school. And it's student by student, class by class, school by school. The other thing I think that's really, really important is the notion that that you shared, that sports were a big part of your life. The experience that every high school kid, middle school kid wants to be able to represent their high school is really changing the quality of life of our athletes as well. So we're so excited that we have been here for 50 years, and we're looking forward to 50 more years, and we continue to change and evolve. And anyone that would like to help out, we would appreciate that, and there are any number of ways to help out.
Super. And the number is 624-1250. Mary, would love to meet with you all, believe me, or have a conversation. Thank you for all you do and your leadership. And Tom, thank you for being a role model for other high schools. Like you said, Mary, what makes New Hampshire special is a lot of great people that make these things happen. And, you know, building an inclusive community through sports is just really awesome. And it's important. I know we all feel pride for our hometown. And if you put on a jersey, and you're representing your school or schools, it's just going to make that sort of inclusivity process, you know, go so well. So thank you both for all you do.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Tom.